Sabarini. Because he would lack sabarini, which is such an important quality for us to have, that sabar, that quality of restraint in us, holding back. At that moment when a person is not well now, he starts making remarks about his sickness. But more that because of lack of patience that a person has, or because a person is expressing his displeasure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not permissible. But where generally a person is expressing what he's experiencing, so that he may explain to the next person what problem he's got, here there is no issue. Especially when it is a specialist, it's a doctor, normally we are told, that anybody asks us what our condition, we should say Alhamdulillah. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should express that contentment with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hukm of Allah, we are happy with it. Whatever it is Allah Pak's decision, we are happy with it. But sometimes it's necessary also to express the person's condition. For example, the doctor came to see the person now and is asking him, how are you feeling? So whether this person may be having some heavy body pains, his head may be paining, there may be some symptoms that if we explain to the doctor, the sick person explains to the doctor, and he can treat that patient. If every time the doctor is coming to see the patient, he's saying Alhamdulillah, then he may not be able to treat. In some cases, it's necessary for the person, the sick person, to explain what difficulty he's going through, so that the correct treatment may be meted out. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qala, dakhaltu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa yu'aku, فمسسته فقلت إنك لتوعك وعكا شديدا فقال أجل إني أوعك كما يوعك رجلان منكم متفق عليه. حضرت عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه says that I visited Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم whilst he had a fever. فمسسته. Now normally when a person has got a fever and you touch him, you immediately able to feel that this person has got a fever. So he said that I touched Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I told him that you've got a fever, you've got a high fever, a very, very severe fever. Faqala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained, yes, I do have. And I have a fever equal to the amount that two people have fever. In other words, the fever of two people is what fever that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experiences. In another hadith it comes, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does it mean that you got double fever, you'll get double reward? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained, yes, because I get double fever, I'll get double reward, inshallah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, qala, ja'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'uduni min waja'in ishtadda bihi. And Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit me in a sickness that I was, a very, very severe sickness, very, very severe sickness that I was experiencing. فَقُلْتُ بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى. So then he explains that, he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his condition, he's explaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the effects of his sickness. وَأَنَا ذُو مَالٍ. And then after explaining about his sickness, he's telling Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that I'm a person, that I'm a wealthy person. وَلَا يَرِثُنِي إِلَّا إِبْرَتِي. This hadith is actually a very long hadith. Here Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi just brought a short part of this hadith. Anyway, he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I'm a wealthy person and the only person that is going to inherit from me is my daughter. وَذَكَرَ الْحَدِيثِ. And then he mentioned the whole hadith. I'll just give you the crux of it. He mentioned the crux of the hadith. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. This was the thinking of Sahaba. Allah Pak grant us the thinking that he was on a sick bed and he's thinking to himself that I'm a wealthy person. It shouldn't happen that only one person inherits from me and then so many other people can't get this wealth. So he's thinking to himself, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that maybe I should give my wealth away in sadaqah. Even at that moment also Sahaba are thinking that how the excess wealth, they can give it away. So then he asked permission for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that can. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, first he asked, can I give half? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, it's too much. Then he said, alright, can I give one quarter? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no. Then he said, may I give one third? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that you can give one third, وَالثُلُثُ كَثِيرٌ. And even one third also is a lot. You're giving so much away. It is better that you leave your beneficiaries in a condition where they don't have to extend their hands to anybody and leaving them in a state of poverty, rather than extra go to your beneficiaries and giving all away. In other words, leave them in a condition where they can also get more. Therefore, generally, in our wasiyats, ulama explained that it is better, although a person is allowed to bequeath one third of his estate in charity, a person shouldn't bequeath the full one third, slightly less than one third, so that he can make amal on this type of hadith, where a person is giving a little bit more to his heirs, so that they can now be self-sufficient, they can benefit more from a person's wealth. Yes, he is giving, he is bequeathing in charity and other good causes, but he is not bequeathing the full one-third. Although there is permissibility to bequeath up to the full one-third. The one hadith finishes the section. And Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi qal, qalat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ra'sa, faqala al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bal ana wa ra'sa. Wa dhakar al-hadith. Here we see these hadiths, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, just brought portions of the hadith to show us that it's permissible for a person to express his sickness. In the previous hadith, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, the first thing he was explaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his sickness, and then he went and asked about his wealth. Here again, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit her. At that time, sorry, this was at a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very sick himself. It was towards his last illness. So this incident happened in the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she complained, wa ra'sa, that my head is paining very, very, very severely. So at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bal ana wa ra'sa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also experiencing very, very severe head pains, headaches. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also explained to her that I'm also experiencing these severe head pains. So from here, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah is explaining to us that it is permissible for a person to express the pain that he's going through, so long as this pain is not complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is not a lack of sabr. These two things we should always see that we got in check. The conditions will continue to come. Are we happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we're happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even in that pain, a person will feel a type of sweetness, type of happiness. Outwardly there'll be pain, but inwardly his heart will be happy. This is the decision of Allah for me. This is what my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for me. Inside his heart, he's happy with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person also has patience, then patience is a thing will help a person in these types of things. Otherwise, if a person doesn't have patience, then it may even come to his own parents. He'll speak anyhow to them. He has no control over his speech. He'll just speak. He forgets that this is my father, this is my mother, these are my ustad, these are my seniors. He'll talk anyhow to any person. And to such an extent that when now a person falls sick, then he'll just scream out about his condition, where the person is encouraged that have this control in your life. This control in your life is something that will help you in every stage of your life. It will help you even in your sickness, in your last phases of your life. It will help you whilst you are young to get the du'as of your seniors, to get the du'as of your parents. And these are things that make a person, that beautify a person. To what level has this person got control in his life? To what extent this person can control his tongue? All these things have got to do with regard to the control of the tongue, which is such an important thing. And these things will come in a person's life when he exercises and continuously practices. He makes mashq upon it. The person who's learning how to play one sport, say for example tennis, he continuously practices how to hit that ball, then he'll get better at it. So similarly, sabr is a thing, control is a thing. The more a person practices upon it, the more it will come into his life. And the more he doesn't practice upon it, the more difficult it will become for him to exercise sabr, especially at the last phases of his life, when he is expected to have that high level of sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.